Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. Welcome to the show. Mike, how are you?
Doing great, Terry, besides the 30 inches of snow that we got here in the D.C. area. But other than that, I'm doing fine.
You're down there in Snowmageddon, as Yahoo is calling it.
Yes, indeed.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. Well, we have a group on today that you guys, I'm telling you, their CD, their brand new CD, It Is What It Is. You are going to love it. It is so good. Johnny Britt and Sean Mee Matt Thomas make up the R&B soul jazz group Impromptu. Their latest release is called It Is What It Is, and it features Take Six, Boney James, Norman Brown, Wayman Tisdale, George Duke, Marcus Miller, Paul Jackson Jr., and Harvey Mason. Johnny and Sean, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, Van.
Now, my first question and probably the most important question of the interview, the Super Bowl. Who are you going for?
The Saints.
Oh. Mike, who are you going for?
I got to go for the Saints, too.
Oh, everybody's going for the same.
That's right, Mike.
I'm going for the commercials. How about that? So now, you guys, Johnny and Sean, you guys have been together for, what, more than 10 years? So tell us, you guys have been performing together for 10 years. Tell us how Impromptu got started.
Well, Impromptu got started... This is Johnny, and I play trumpet, and I'm a singer. And I actually heard this doo-bop record by Miles Davis back in the day. And, of course, I'm a fan of Miles. And he did this thing with Easy Mo B, this rapper. And when I heard it, man, I just thought it was really, really hip. And at the time, I never thought of trying to, you know, be in a group or, you know, be a part of a group situation. But when I heard it, I just thought it was very, you know, a unique concept. So I actually got the idea from that, and I went out looking for a rapper, actually. To put it frankly, I was looking for like a rapper, someone that could be musical to create a new sound. And a friend of mine that happened to be a friend of Sean actually introduced us. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually introduced us, and within, hello?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if that's maybe.
I hear a dial tone, yeah.
Maybe that's Sean. Hold on one second.
Okay. All right, well, while we wait for them.
Was that, it went off. Was that?
No, I'm here, Johnny.
Oh, that's Sean. Okay, maybe that's Michael. Anyway,
no.
We're still on the air. Anyway, so when she put us together, you know, I actually went through like 40 different rappers, believe it or not, and just checking them out. And Sean was the 40th.
It's always the last guy.
And, you know, what I liked about him was that he had worked with Quincy Jones, and he was musical. That was like the main thing. And then he was a great lyricist. And he was just cool, you know, he was just a real cool cat, and I just felt, you know, my spirit said, okay, this is the guy, you know, because I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And so we linked up, and we got our deal with Motown, I think within 3 months of us being together. We signed with Motown, Steve McKeever signed us right away, and because I think he got it, he got the concept. And then we came out with our first album, You're Gonna Love It, about a year later. That was in actually 1995. So we've been together, I think, since 94, maybe 93 I met Sean, something like that. And basically, Impromptu is a style of Sean's personality, which is hip-hop, R&B. You know, he's also a singer. And then my influence are from jazz and R&B. So we basically just mixed our two personalities and styles together to create the Impromptu sound.
Okay. Wow. Now, Sean, I read that you said there's a misconception that Impromptu is a jazz group, and people sometimes have a hard time describing what you do. So was that deliberate on your part not to be musically categorized?
Well, we would prefer not to be, the way the times are now. Unfortunately, there's a category for every type of music. When we were coming up, you just had good music to play on the radio, so you had a lot of different genres of music on the same radio station. Now it's a hip-hop station, it's an R&B station, pop, jazz, like that. So, unfortunately, that's why the kids are kind of narrow-minded to what they listen to, because they're not exposed to the different genres like we were back in the day. And, that's why we could still like Parliament, Funkadelic, we could like Miles Davis, we could like Earth, Wind, and Fire, we could like the Sugar Hill Gang, we could like whatever, you know, because it all played on the same station, you know.
We just
make music that we like. We don't really concern ourselves with what genre it's going to really put itself into and what pocket we're going to fit in. We just like to make what we make. And whatever it is, that's why we entitled this album, It Is What It Is, because we're tired of kind of like explaining what we do, and, you know, so, I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Now, Shawna, you were actually signed to Ruthless Records back in the day, right?
Yeah, my brother and I, we were one of the first rappers on Ruthless, with Easy and Dre and the DLC and everybody. Yeah, and then Quincy Jones signed me after that. And I did a project, my brother and I, we were called Rappenstein, and we did a project back there, you know. But at that time, it was just Quincy and Joanne running the label, so they didn't really have a lot of knowledge about rap. So they didn't know what to do with it, but it was a really good project, and it was live as well. Had a lot of live musicians on it. Back then, rappers weren't even using live drummers and keyboards and whatever. They were just sampling. We had singing and R&B mixed with the rap before it was popular at all. And that's why it was for Johnny and I to be together, because what I was doing back then, it was a little more on the hip-hop edge than what Johnny had in mind. And Johnny really introduced me to, like, a lot of the jazz stuff. I mean, you know, I knew a little bit about jazz. I wasn't much of a jazz person, you know, but I knew, like, the regular, like, you know, Kenny G and, you know, those type of cats. I mean, I knew Coltrane and all of those, but I couldn't tell you what they made. I didn't listen to them like that. Hip-hop side of things, you know. So Johnny introduced me to that. I introduced him to some hip-hop R&B stuff, and that's how we came up with this unique sound that we have today.
Yeah, very unique. Yeah.
Just want to say the same thing, Mike. Very unique. Very unique. I want to play It Is What It Is, because that goes back to the guys not wanting to be categorized in a specific genre of music. And tell us about how this song starts off.
It Is What It Is starts off. It was crazy because, you know, Sean and I were trying to think about, you know, the name of the album, the whole thing. And like Sean said, I mean, I call ourselves an R&B group, you know. You could probably ask five different people, and they're not going to give you five different answers, but it'll at least be three different. It'll be maybe two or three different answers. Mm-hmm. And And so we just basically said, you know, well, actually, you know, we came up with the music and then came up with you know, the whole concept. And basically it's the story of, you know, us wanting to make it clear exactly who prompted to it. And we're not a new group. We've been around for years. You know, Sean hooked all that stuff, all that up. And basically letting everybody know that we just make good music that people actually love to hear. And everybody does, you know, when they get a chance to listen to our sound, it's not offensive. It's cool and it's groovy and it's musical all in the same. So we call it It Is What It Is. And then Sean and I both have a little boy and a little girl. My son Joshua is 11. My daughter Mariah is 9. And then Sydney, and Sean's kids, Cameron and Sydney. How are they, Sean?
7 and 10.
Yeah, they're like 7 and 10. Anyway, but we said, well, let's bring the kids on, you know, to act. So we brought the kids in the studio, and now the kids are famous because everybody is like, want the kids' autograph. They don't even want me and Sean's autograph no more.
Oh gosh.
No, but it was just really fun, and it just developed in. Actually, it's kind of, it definitely is a fan favorite, I mean, it's definitely a concert favorite. When we do that song in our concerts, I mean, it's really, it takes over. It takes the house down. It is what it is. So anyway, there you have it.
And it also starts off with you guys being interviewed and the and being asked what category of music you're in, you know, that you're. People think you should be playing, or what category of music are you in? So this is called It Is What It Is.
Hey, Tammy Mack is in your box with a new group that's straight fire. Shawnee Mack, Johnny B formed a soul group, Impromptu, but it's unclear of what genre of soul we should categorize this groundbreaking duo with. So Shawnee Mack, exactly what is it?
Right now, I want to make clear, Impromptu's not new, we've been around for years. Highly respected among our peers for making good music people love to hear. Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We mix hip hop, jazz, and R&B. We don't categorize, we just make what sound good, baby.
Is it hip hop?
It is what it is.
Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
It is what it is.
It Is What It Is. That is from Impromptu's current project. And if you have a question or a comment for them, please call 646-716-5485. I like that. That was too cute with the kids.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Now, Johnny, I want to ask you, too. Now, you actually studied for 3 years at the Conservatory of Music in France.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh man, that was just a life-changing experience. You know, when you we see things in America in a certain way, you know, you kind of maybe live in a certain neighborhood or a certain city that you never leave. When you get a chance to go abroad and particularly study music, it really takes it just opens up a whole other thing. And I was very fortunate to very blessed to be able to study with Roger Delmont. He was the first trumpet player at the Paris Opera. Opéra, as they say in France, and I studied at the Conservatoire de Versailles, the Conservatory of Versailles, and it was just incredible because it's a world-class institution, and I studied with some great teachers over there, and it was just some of the greatest trumpet players in the world, and it was just like I said, it was just a blessing. It was great to have that opportunity to do that.
Sean, on a review I read on soulexpress.net, it says there is a reference to Steve Harvey to your music. Now, is this the comedian Steve Harvey?
No, that's the Steve Harvey that produced our first and third CD.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Scotland.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just, that made me wonder, because then my next question would have been, how was he involved in, because he's a comedian. I had not heard of him being involved in anyone's music, so that was going to be the next question.
You know what? Actually, Steve Harvey did do a compilation CD of it with different musicians, with different artists.
You mean the DJ, Sean? You talking about the radio personality guy?
Yeah, the comedian, yeah.
Yeah, he did a compilation before with different artists.
Okay.
I don't know why, but, I mean, you know, he did do one.
We were on it? Were we on it?
We? What? No, dude. No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know anything about it.
Well, you guys don't play with everybody. I mean, you guys play with, Johnny, you played with the Temptations. You were their musical director.
Yeah, and actually just recently I just finished producing 4 songs on their new CD that's coming out in May, Otis Williams called me to produce and write some songs for them, and we just finished it, actually, and they're on their way to Australia Monday, and we just wrapped the project up, so I'm very, very happy to have that affiliation, and that that relationship is just, it's just great. Actually, Otis and the Temptations, they brought me out, my family out here to Los Angeles, so that's even why I live out here. I was hired to be their musical director, and we moved out here, because the group is based out here in L.A., and that's how I actually got out to L.A., being their musical director, traveling all around the world with them, and recording in the studio with them. This is not the first time that I've had, songs recorded by the Temptations. And I was also very fortunate to be able to produce the music, co-produce the music for the Temptations miniseries that, everybody knows.
Bonnie James also recorded 3 of your compositions. The Total Experience, which is on his Shine CD. I'll Always Love You with Shy, which is on the Body Language CD. And then Grand Central, which is on the Shake It Up CD.
Yeah. Boney's a great friend. I got that relationship, but we got that relationship with Boney. I remember we were at the Soul Train Awards. That's where I was. Mm. And I was sitting in the green room. And I knew Boney before he was Boney. I'm not going to tell you what his real name is. But
oh, we know.
Yeah, definitely. We know.
Okay. Boney, Boney's cool. Anyway, so him and Lily, his wife, I saw him. And he saw me. Hey, Johnny, can I sit down at the table? Yeah, man, come sit down. We're talking. He was like the only white dude in there, the Soul Train Awards in the green room. And we're talking, and really, I'm a songwriter, so I'm always trying to, pitch songs. And I said, hey, man, do you need any material, for your album? And he says, my album is just about done. He says, I'm looking for one song. There's room for one song. And he basically says he's looking for one song. I said, okay, so I'm going to write it. I'm going to write it. I said, I'm going to write it. And he didn't really, he knew me as a trumpet player. And actually went home that night, wrote the music, and then, you know, he loved it. Then he says, man, you know, but I want it to be a vocal song. And then I called Sean. I said, hey, Sean, I got this cat, Bonnie James, man. He likes this track. Man, hook up, you know, some lyrics for me. And Sean is like the best lyricist, you know, that's out there. He's just phenomenal. He just, his words are just so clever and so well done. Anyway, man, this guy, he calls me back and he sings it over on my answer machine. You know, that's what he did it. You know, he sung the song on the answer machine. I got it and I recorded it on my A-track, gave it to him.
A-track?
On my, you had A-track. My A-track. It was real to real.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah. Next thing you know, Shy recorded it. You know, he did the video, and I think it became his most popular. I think it came maybe one of his most popular crossover songs.
And that's "I'll Always Love You." Very
I'll
good. I
love
like
you.
That song. Yeah.
And body language.
Yes, and that brings me to "Love to Ball Jazz" with Bonnie James on saxophone. Now, I love this song. I think Boney is such a master on the saxophone. He's one of my favorite saxophonists, and I think he's a master when it comes to playing the saxophone. So I'm sure it wasn't hard at all asking him to do this song for you.
I think in this business it's all about relationships, and if you ask anybody about, you know, Sean and I and Promptu, you know, there's nobody can say anything bad about us, you know. And so, you know, I know my reputation is just like what Tina Turner said, just give me my name.
There you go.
So really, like, you know, the way we, you know, this is off the subject, but the way we got all these great musicians on our album is because of our reputation and the reputation that I have with them as well. But, Boney is a friend. You know, Boney is cool. He's a friend. I'm basically have songs on all of Boney James's albums since that album. All of them except the one he just did, which was covers. And it's just, you know, it's just like, you know, a relationship. Hey, man, could you play on this song for me? And he's like, yep. You know, and it's kind of as simple as that, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to jump on that, too, before you get into the song, Terry, because you guys use a different variety of producers, too. You guys use R&B producers, rap producers, and jazz producers. Now, was that something that you guys wanted to do, or, you know, how did you guys implement using, like, guys like Eddie F, Big Bub, and you know, the guys like that in the jazz genre as well to be producers? How did you guys try to mold that into your style?
Well, you know, what I would say is that, you know, we do try to kind of experiment, you know, with, you know, a lot of different things. We're not closed-minded about anything. So at that time, in that period, that was all kind of in a development of our style and who we are and it, trying things out. So it was some things that Motown had suggested at the time with Andre Harrell, and we said, okay, fine, let's check it out. So now we have, like, our latest CD, It Is What It Is, we actually produced it ourselves, Sean and I and our partner Chris. And I think what we've done is we've taken all those different influences from our first three albums, and we, you know, we grew and we learned from all of them. And also, whenever, like, someone, we did bring in somebody to produce the album, Sean and I are very hands-on. So it wasn't like, you know, we just let them do their thing and we left. You know, we are musicians. So we have always had our hand in the recipe for whatever we've done. So so I think we've learned from all the different influences. I mean, Harvey Mason Jr., you know, produced one of our songs. He's like one of the hottest producers out right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to that, Sean, just a few minutes ago. It was Bad, you know, one of our songs called Let Me Take You Away. And so we just learned, I think, from all those different influences. And even like on our new album, It Is What It Is, like I said, we produced the whole thing ourselves, you know. And a lot of people feel that this is our best album to date, you know, and Sean and I, we just look at each other and just kind of smile because, you know, a lot of people helped us, and now we did it, you know, without them. And it's,
right.
And it's all developing, you know, into the Impromptu sound. So it was great. It was a great experience, man, working with Harvey and Eddie M, you know, Eddie F, and Big Bub and everybody, Steve Harvey. I mean, it's been great, and we've been really blessed to work with some of the best.
Yeah. Well, there are two versions of Love to Ball on the It Is What It Is CD. One is a vocal version, and the other is the instrumental version with Boney James on sax. And that's what I'm going to play next. This is called Love to Ball Jazz. I love that. Love to Ball Jazz with Boney James and Johnny on trumpet, Boney on sax. Now, Johnny, is there two versions of this CD? Is there like a jazz version and then another version?
Well, actually, that's a good question. We're in the process of working on the jazz version right now.
Okay.
It's not out yet. Right now, the only thing that you can...
It's not a jazz version of that CD. I mean, there are selected songs that we took off of that where there are jazz versions, like of Good Thing and Love the Ball and a couple of others, but the majority of the CD will be new. I mean, you know, different jazz songs. So it's not necessarily a dance version of that exact CD.
Okay. Okay. Now, Sean. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that we're working on that now for later on in the year because, you know, our vocal album, you know, it's just, we have a hit song with Love the Ball, the vocal version, you know, and the album is hitting right now. So, we don't want to get in the way of that. So, hopefully, I guess by the summertime or later on we'll be releasing the jazz album.
Okay, see.
Don't hold me to that.
Okay. Sean, I wanted to ask you about one of your influences, Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
How has he influenced you?
I mean, you know, we've all grown up listening to Michael, you know, and, you know, fortunately we had the pleasure of going out meeting him at his house. We went to Neverland,
mm-hmm.
took the family out there, and it was really nice, you know. He's just a great entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great entertainer, okay. And, you know, the music, and he, I mean, you know, it's just phenomenal. You know, he has a lot of input in what he does, and, you know, very hands-on, and, you know, I love him. Him, Stevie Wonder, Prince, they're all like geniuses, you know, and they're all
yes.
Like,
yes, I agree.
Know, Michael Frank, real great, great people. So, Michael is a great person.
I totally
no,
agree. You've gone too
yeah,
soon. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mike.
I'm going to say, Sean, you know, being a rapper and a rapper from the West Coast, did it take some convincing for you to hook up with Johnny, or did you just jump on it right away? I mean, what sold you on actually going in and trying to do the rap with the jazz?
No, I jumped in it right away. I mean, you know, like I love Quincy Jones and the different things that he's done in the past. He's always had a jazz route to him as well, you know. So even though I wasn't deeply embedded in jazz, I've always liked it. And, you know, I was always, like, in the band and, you know, I played trumpet and baritone in the band, in the all-city band. So my musical roots, I still can appreciate, you know, the jazz influence that it had on certain music. And like I said, my thing, even when I was a rapper all the way, I was always cutting edge and did things way ahead of my time. So
mm-hmm.
before they were singing and rapping at the same time or doing, you know, music with rap, it was just beats. I was doing all that stuff long, long, long time ago before that, you know. And, you know, I used to tell Dr. Dre, I would tell him, I said, why are you sampling the music? I said, these people are still alive. Why don't you just get them to play on it? Why don't you just get
yeah.
George to play? Why don't you just get this person to get that person? He goes, nah, man, it's not going to be the same. They captured a certain thing in there. I said, they made it. I said, they could capture what they captured, maybe not the same way, but they could add something really different to what you're doing and capture that same feel and embellish it. But he didn't hear it, you know what I mean? But luckily, you know, I got a partner who did hear it, so when I told him, let's get these people, you know, George Duke, Patrice Rushen, this person, that person, I mean, all these different people, you know, he said, cool. And we just went on and did it and got those people, and it was a real blessing because, you know, we didn't really have it financially like that to really get those people, but fortunately, through our relationships and through the blessing of God, we was able to get those people on the record, and it was great.
And speaking of rapping, you guys wrote a song called You're a Queen, which speaks to, kind of give us your story on this song.
Well, You're a Queen, we thought of that song, you know, when it happened between the Rutgers basketball team, what happened with them, with him calling them nappy head hoes or whatever, and, you know, it just gets to a point where too much is too much, you know. But it's really unfortunate that someone would even, I mean, the reason why they have the gall to even say that is because, you know, unfortunately we allowed them to say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We allow, and when I say we, I'm talking about men allowing other men, women allowing other men or other people to call them the B word or to call them H, you know. And when you hear that in music, when you hear that and you dance to it, you make it okay. You hear that and you don't when you hear it and you dance to it and you buy the music and you do whatever, you tell them it's okay to do that. Fine, I'll accept that because it's in the entertainment. I'll accept that because you're singing it to me. It doesn't matter how it's said, you're still being called that and you're still being
right.
disrespected. I don't care if you're being disrespected to a melody or to a hip-hop beat. It makes no difference. So we wrote You're a Queen to try to alert the people, you know, young ladies to respect themselves more and make other people respect them and more of that. But, you know, it's really unfortunate because it's like really too deep to even go into this segment. But, it's like people, it's almost like people don't want you to get the message out. You know, even radio stations, disc jockey, radio programmers, it just doesn't make a difference because it's like, they can hear the song, but it doesn't seem important enough for people to, you know, really, really embrace the song and do it. So we've given it to a lot of people, but it falls upon deaf ears, you know?
Right.
And they'd rather give a Grammy to Sir Mix-a-Lot or whatever for making Baby Got Back opposed to You're a Queen. But, you know, that's the way life is, and it's unfortunate. But we're trying to change it, and we do whatever we can to change it, you know? So we're going to continue giving these messages in our throughout our in our songs and on different albums and, you know, no matter what. So.
Well, I want to play You're a Queen. And for all of the young ladies out there listening, please listen to the lyrics of this song. This is You're a Queen.
Protected in the man's embrace.
Y'all let me get away with saying anything they wanna say. Now it's all out of control. You heard on the radio, you're a nappy hit.
Now it's not my place to hear a rapper call you a bitch.
Still,
dance to it, and they keep saying it because you're buying it and making them rich.
Baby girl,
don't do it.
Cause you gotta respect yourself before you expect anyone else. Respectfully,
and treat you like the queen you were born to be.
All right, that is You're a Queen from Impromptu's latest project, It Is What It Is. This is a great CD. I encourage you to go to Amazon.com and purchase it. I think that you will be very happy with it. It is a must-have for your collection, for sure.
Sure.
Definitely.
Now, you guys are real travel, too, because you guys have actually played for the president, President Clinton, and you guys played at the Olympics in 96. How was those experiences playing for the president and at the Olympic Games?
Well, it was a dream come true. It was funny. We were in Atlanta for the games, and I think I got the message when I think the vice president from our label, Motown Mojazz, called and said, y'all have been invited to perform at the White House. And I called Sean in his hotel room, and I told him he didn't believe me. And it was like, we got to, like, go, like, tomorrow or something like that. And it was real. I mean, we went, had to go through all this crazy security, and they chose us. I mean, he chose us. Somebody chose us to be the entertainment for this congressional picnic that they had on the a South Lawn, and it was just amazing. I mean, President Clinton, he acknowledged us and he thanked us, and it was just, you know, that was amazing. And we would love to do the same for President Obama. If he hears our music, I'm sure that, you know, he would like it.
Oh, yeah. I have to ask you about Wayman Tisdale.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet up with him?
He was our label mate. He's our label mate on Mojo.
Okay.
And you know, we have a song. We have the song on our album called Mojazz, and basically that song was a tribute to our – that was the label that got us in the game and got all of us in the game. You got Norman Brown in the game. You got Jay Spencer in the game. It got Norman Wayman Tisdale in the game. So Sean and I, when we were putting this album together, we said, man, we need to do a tribute. And basically it was kind of like to Jay, because Jay passed away. He's a friend of our soprano saxophone player. And we were, like, really hurt by that, you know, because Jay's a friend of ours. You know, he was our label mate. So we said, man, let's do a tribute to Mojazz. And basically, you know, let's get everybody that was on the label. We can't get Jay. So let's get Boney. So we got Boney. Called Wayman. Wayman said, cool. Wayman was cool. Got Wayman. Got Norman Brown. And we were, like, the core artists on Mojazz. And if Mojazz had, it was like a jazz version of Motown. I mean, back in the day, I mean, we had, you know, a vibe where people would buy Mojazz records, you know, because this was kind of before the smooth jazz thing kind of took off. But it was, you know, anyway, it was us. We used to do, you know, do shows together, and anyway, we had the idea of let's do the Mojazz, you know, for all practical purposes, a reunion song, a tribute to Jay Spencer, reunion. And like we said, you know, Wayman's on there, you know, and then, of course, we didn't know. He was totally healthy and cool. We were laughing and joking and just had a great time in the studio when he was cutting these tracks for us. And, of course, we were blown away just like everybody else, you know, when Wayman passed. So
yeah.
That we met Wayman from, you know, through Mojazz. Through Mojazz.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that's how we became friends. And, you know, great time.
I was going to ask Terry, too, that in the past 10 years, you guys have four albums. The first two were on Mojazz, and the third one, I think, was on Big Three Records?
Yeah, the independent label out of Florida.
Okay. Now, this one, you guys started your own label.
Yep.
Now, how did you guys want to do that, or did you guys shop it around first before you decided to create your own label, or how did that happen with creating your own label?
Sean is very, I got to give it to him, he's an entrepreneur, this guy. He's very, very talented, and he's got a big mind, and he's been wanting to do this for a while. But, you know, I am used to record deals, you know, where you get advances and you get the comfort of whatever that is. And this time around, Sean said, man, let's start our own label. Let's do it ourselves. And for some strange reason, I said, okay. Let's do it. And we started a label called JCS Records. We came up with a name. And we made our record, the one that y'all have that everybody's, you know. We made the record ourselves with our partner Chris Maney. He came in, became partners with us. And then we'd like to thank Orpheus Records because they believed in this record. We are with Orpheus Records, and that's going through Universal. So Orpheus is based out of New York, Bo Huggins and the Huggins family. So they, when they heard the record, they got it, believed in it, promised us, you know, certain things, and we felt that this will be a great partnership. So we partnered up with them. And that's how it's on the radio and in the record stores, and that's how we are where we are right now. But we are entrepreneurs. We have JCS Records; it's our record label, and we're very happy about it.
That's very cool.
Let me read a review from a customer on Amazon.com. Mm. I have been an Impromptu fan for many years, but It Is What It Is is their best album ever. Three
wow.
Exclamation points. Every track is fantastic. Go ahead, boys, with your bad selves. Smooth, jazzy, groovy. You name the vibe, this CD has it.
Wow. Man.
And that is from a customer from Amazon.com. Another review from SoulExpress.net. This album is extremely strong and certainly sits along the best of the current crop of heavy hitters. Please do not ignore this album. It should be a punishable offense not to own a copy, and I agree 100%.
Wow. Yeah. And, 100%. You know, I must say, from our standpoint, it's the fans, it's people like you, you all, and the people that, you know, that just our fans that really keep us going. You know what I'm saying? Because like Sean said, we, you know, we write music with integrity, and we want to write it with meaning and a purpose. And, you know, again, people that hear it love it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The exposure, like, again, if President Obama, you know, got a chance to hear it, I'm sure he'd be rocketed on the Air Force One.
Yeah.
So, again, it's just, you know, we really do appreciate all of our fans that are listening. We appreciate you guys, Terry and Michael. We just really do appreciate it because, you know, we're not going to sell out. We're going to keep doing the music that we've been doing for a decade, and
mm-hmm.
And we're not going to stop. Until, you know, until we break through the walls, and then we're still not going to stop after that.
Yeah.
Now, I told you that this would be a 30-minute interview, and we thought that. And I still have a million questions to ask you, but if you don't mind, I would love to play Love to Ball, the vocal version of the song, if you don't mind.
Well, that's our hit single, just to let everybody in the country know. That is a hit, bona fide hit single right now. It's being played.
You played on Michael Bazin.
Yeah, Michael Bazin jumped on it, and you know, we'd like to thank him for, you know, he's a big baller guy, syndicated radio show, and people are hearing this record, and we really do appreciate the support once again.
All right, this is Love to Ball.
You came from. Yeah. I wanna give you the finer things. Deserve the best.
Whose
mind is yours?
You came from.
And if I'm balling, you balling.
Oh, babe, please turn yourself over there.
We love nice things, baguettes and diamond rings, Chanel and Louis purses, platinum and gold chains, house in the Hamptons, black on black range. I keep hooking you up, ain't a dang thing change. Just stay looking like you on the runway. I love seeing you ball, there's nothing else to say. We're going to San Tropez anytime, any day, like Southwest say. Hey, wanna get away?
La 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 la.
Love that. Love that. Johnny, are you singing?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Are you doing the vocals on that?
Yeah.
You sound like Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Sound like Marvin Gaye. And Sean, I like the Southwest Say Want to Get Away line. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
I like the CD is good. Everybody in the chat room is telling me I need to get the first CD and how much I'm going to love the first CD. So I definitely will be buying that.
Oh, thank you.
The first one is a classic.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I have that one. I actually like the definition of love, too. I love that.
Thank
I love
you.
Mocha Soul with Kim Fields.
Thank
I love
you.
That song.
Thank you.
Mm.
Yeah, we really do appreciate, again, all support and, spreading the word. And, we'll come on anytime as much as you like, whatever we need to do.
Wow, definitely have you on with the next project for sure. And, oh, my God, I have a million questions to ask you guys, but I'm not going to keep you any longer. There's still some more. I think what I'm going to do, because we still have about 30 minutes of the show, I'm just going to continue to play the rest of the songs from the CD.
Great.
And so people can hear that. But, man, thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah,
thank you for having us. We want to, again, everybody, impromptu.com, www.impromp2.com, and also become our fan. We have a fan page on,
Facebook,
yeah. So become a fan of ours, and we'd love to keep you abreast of all the exciting things that we're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
And Johnny, and on that note, I want to ask you about your project, the gospel Christian project that you're doing. Tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, my partner Sean, I just want to tell you that, what a fine. It's not as good as finding my wife. I have a beautiful wife.
You better not go there.
He's not as beautiful as her. But, he's really been a blessing to me, and I was just kind of sitting here thinking about this, because I guess when you do interviews, you reflect of when you first met somebody and blah, 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 bring out the violin. But he's truly a tremendous partner, and I could not do Impromptu without him. We've had a great relationship, and we do have a great relationship all these many years. And I'm saying all that to say that this is my first time I ever did a solo project, and I'm a Christian, and I've always wanted to do a project, a worship project, and it's not a gospel project. It really is a worship project where, it's for prayer and just, having your mind, renewed and your spirit and the whole thing. So that's what it is. And the CD consists of piano, vocals, violin, cello, and flugelhorn. And I'm saying all this to say Sean did the fabulous, all the photos are taken by Sean. Sean is a professional photographer. And I told him, he said, man, anything you need, I'm always there for you. And so I just want to thank him nationwide for and tell everybody, what a fabulous photographer he is. The photos are, they're just as good as the music, the quality of the music. But this album, I'm quite proud of. My wife and I wrote all of the music. She's a tremendous lyricist. And this is the first time that we've done something together. The Lord gave her these songs, and I guess, and used me as a vessel to put them out and we just completed that, and it is available at johnnybritt.com. And you know, we put it out. I don't even think I told Sean. Somebody asked me to come and you know, minister at this thing. The first video came out, and I went and played. It's just me on piano, you know, singing, and it was just like, it was great. It was just like amazing. So many people were just like, they like Impromptu, and they're touched by Impromptu. They're touched by this ministry that you know, this new music ministry. And I'm just I just want to, you know, help people and bless people through the gifts that God has given me through music. And that's what this project is. It's called There Is Nobody. And this is the first one, and definitely thank you for mentioning it. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And also let me mention that Johnny's wife is a Christian music writer, and she wrote one of the songs on the It Is What It Is CD called It Was Love.
Yeah.
So I will be playing that as well. And quickly, upcoming projects for you guys.
The jazz record. We got to finish the jazz record because a lot of people have been asking about that. And we're, you know, currently just really on the grind, you know, promoting the It Is What It Is album, because that, you know, it is hitting right now, and
mm-hmm.
and people do want to see us. So we are, you know, working with our manager and just trying to, you know, trying to get in front of people. We're actually supposed to be coming to Baltimore on the 20th of
this month.
This month. So, you know, we're really, there's a lot of concentration on shows from Prompt. I think that's the most important thing, and getting our, getting the jazz record ready. And then after that, you know, we'll be thinking about the next Impromptu record.
Okay.
Which will probably be like next year, you know, but we want to work this one and do all that we can.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I have a question from the chat room. They want to know, Jeanette Abrahamson. I'm sorry, Jeanette, if I mispronounced that. She wants to know if you have any plans to come into Dallas.
Wow, that's great. We do have plans to come, like, everywhere. We just have to, again, that hasn't been the first request for Dallas. We're just working on, like, routing, and I think that the biggest thing I would say to our fans, if you really want Impromptu, I would say call your radio stations and ask for Love Jabal, because I think when we get played in certain areas, it's much easier for us to come there, because
mm-hmm.
you know, we're being played on the radio, and then there will be you understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I would
mm-hmm.
say that we are definitely working on Dallas, because I know they are playing the record there. And again, if you stay in touch with us via the Facebook fan page and the website, we could let you know exact dates when that would happen, but we, at this point, we don't have the exact time, but we are working on it. Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you guys, too, now, the February 20th date, is that concrete? Is that set in stone now?
Sean can answer that.
Wait, what happened?
No, I was saying the February 20th date in Baltimore, is that set in stone, or is that still being worked on?
I don't know. It's not fair. I haven't got a check.
He said, until you get paid.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Sean,
I heard that
side. He loves me now.
So I'm going to ask Eric again, then, because I've been talking with Eric about, you know, because Eric was telling me about it and trying to get you guys some more dates around the 20th, around the D.C. area.
Right.
So I've been trying to, you know, look around the area and see what promoters would want to bring you guys in around that same date.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I asked, you know, and everything.
Yeah, well, Eric, you know, our manager, you know, he told me that, what did he tell me? Johnny is like 95% sure I know the guy and the promoter. I said, okay, bro. So I'm just kicking back. and waiting, you know, waiting for the command. So we got our bags are packed. We ready to go. But the check has to clear before
mine ain't packed, so the check clear.
That's funny.
All my stuff is still in the drawer.
I heard that.
Hanging up in the closet.
Oh, man.
I ain't got my dress clothes out the cleaners yet.
mm-hmm.
No, but,
well,
you know,
fellas,
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, no, no. I'll just say we always, you know, we've been doing this stuff for so long, and, you know, we've met so many different type of people, and that's why we can just kind of, like, laugh it off. So it is what it is, as the album says, you know. And it's, gonna, and it's gone. Maybe the next album should be called It's Gonna Be What It's Gonna Be.
Wow.
How you like that,
Sean? Can I ask you one more question?
You can ask us 10 more if you like.
Okay. Which one of you did the background vocals for Luther Vandross?
Johnny. I did.
Oh, my goodness. What was that experience like?
Well, you know, it was just amazing. It was just really amazing because he is a master. I was working with Michael Afanasieff. You know, he did all the production stuff for Mariah Carey. And, you know, the bottom line is, look, you know, we've been doing this stuff for years. I've been doing this stuff for years. I've been singing on stuff for years. And it's what we do, you know. It's not like it's, you know, really, and no disrespect to anybody else, but Marcus and everybody that's played on our albums, those guys are a master at their craft, and I'm a master at my craft, which is singing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, and I've been doing this stuff for years, so you just walk in the studio and you do the job, and you leave, and you get paid, and it was great. Luther Vandross is the master. It was, you know, I approach his gig just like I would approach anybody's gig. You know, if I'm getting paid $50 or $50,000, it's all the same. And it was just great to be on that album, that classics album. Every time I hear it, I hear my voice in there. Always forever love you. Remember that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're on all that stuff. Yeah, we're on all that stuff. So. Yeah, it was a great gig, you know, when I work with, you know, anybody, it's a great gig. I'm just blessed to, have the talent to hang with, the big boys like that and to do a great job. So, yeah, it was amazing. Luther is the bomb. You know, he's definitely the bomb. I heard him. I had the pleasure of just listening to him, you know, do some takes. I was in the studio with Marcus Miller, man, and it was like, you know, it was, okay, Johnny, you got to step up your game, because this cat was like nailing, like the first take, intonation was killing, phrasing was killing, just everything. So I'm just glad that, you know, to be in the presence of greatness when you're a musician, it inspires you to become great, and that's what I would say, you know, because I know God is no respecter of person. If he could do it, then I could do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I feel we feel as a group. And I know I feel that individually. You know, I hear like a great trumpet player, Wenton is a great friend of mine. It's like, man, Wenton is like phenomenal, you know. But, I mean, I'm going to practice that much harder, you know, to have my identity and to have my thing happening. So, yeah, but Luther was, woof. Luther was
strong. Oh, I can imagine. Oh,
was,
my gosh.
There was a whole A-list. We had the whole A-list, but it was cool. You know, because if you didn't handle it, you wouldn't be there. You'd be fired.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, so it was great, and Luther was just fantastic to work
with. I want to ask you guys real fast, too, now that you guys have the JCS label. Are you guys looking at any other artists to bring on to your label, or will it be just exclusively for your stuff?
I'd say yeah. I mean, if there's something just like, you know, incredible, I think can definitely consider it.
Man, this cat ain't looking for nothing. He we missed that on Judith Hill, because he ain't looking to buy nobody, man.
Oh my gosh, you just gonna blast me out like that?
10 years, man, please.
Oh,
we got,
my goodness.
You
guys missed out on who
guys,
now?
Guys
Who's
heard,
the name?
You guys heard Judith Hill?
No,
Judith
I haven't
Hill?
Heard Judith Hill.
Okay, did you look at the Michael Jackson Memorial?
Yes.
You saw the beautiful Asian lady that sang, the Asian girl that sang Heal the World and all that stuff at the end. She was on everything.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I told Johnny, I said, man, we got to sign her. That was before she did that stuff, you know, because she sings on our, she's a female on our record.
Oh, okay.
So I told Johnny, let's get her. We slept on her. We slept on her. Didn't do it. Now she gone. She gone.
Johnny's
bad.
Crazy. I guess he. Johnny, you better. Johnny?
You know what, Ma? I scare my wife sometimes. I scare my wife waking up. I just go, she gone.
I just got finished putting him right a few steps down from my wife. I just told the whole world how much I love this brother. And you see how he treats me?
Hey.
Y'all see how
he
treats me?
Oh, man.
Y'all see how he treats me?
I can't even get a return phone call now. She gone.
Okay, look, he is feeling much better now because he was sick before, but he's feeling much better now.
Yeah, we woke him up with that, huh?
That's
too funny. Johnny, you got to find that woman.
I do that. I do like Michael Jackson every day. She's out of my life.
Y'all done got him started. Oh, my goodness. That is too funny.
Oh, man, too funny.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, no. He is too crazy.
Judith, if you're listening, call me, baby. Call me.
He sounded like, is it Chris Tucker? That's what he reminds me of Chris Tucker right by
now.
Crazy.
There you go.
You go, man.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. But I'm sure there's plenty of other artists out there that you guys can definitely, you know, won't miss up on the next time around and everything.
After that traumatic experience, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready.
Man.
There'd be another one just go up and leave. I don't know if I can handle it.
Johnny, you got your work cut out for you, I see.
I know. It's all good. I still love him.
Oh,
oh my gosh, y'all need to find that woman. Oh my goodness. She was good though, I enjoyed her. She was really good. Yeah, she was. Okay, I'm going to try and let you go again here.
Okay. So
I mean, I can
now,
keep you on if you want. Then we can play some more music. But
I definitely have to go. Sean can stay if he wants to. But
no,
I have to get out of here. But listen, anytime
thank
we really,
guys for having us.
We really do appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for
coming on. Yes.
Yes. And definitely we will have you back on. Love to have you back on when the next project drops.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sean, feel better.
Oh, thank you. My wife, the only reason I'm talking this, well, my wife gave me some Ricola. And those things work.
Oh, man, did the cough drop?
I took a couple of those, and it made my throat feel better.
Yeah, but if we do come through Baltimore, make sure you come on out to the show.
Yes, definitely, I will. I'll keep in touch with you guys and with Eric to make sure it does go down. If the check clears, I know that you'll be there.
Yeah, the check clears, we'll be there.
That's right.
All right, guys. You guys have a great day, and I hope your team wins tomorrow in the Super Bowl.
Thank you. We really enjoyed the interview with you. Thanks a lot. And you can get it to Eric, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Look at Eric.
Yes. Definitely.
Cool, guys. Thanks again.
All right.
Okay, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. All right. That was Johnny Britt and Sean Thomas from the group Impromptu. Again, the CD is called It Is What It Is. It is a must-have for your collection.
Yeah.
You've got to get it. I'm going to play Good Thing. This is being played a lot on a local station here in Vegas and on XM. And it features Ray Parker Jr. So this is Good Thing.
I'm in heaven.
without you, I gotta let you know you're my world. I'm loving every little thing you do. I know you're loving me too. You'll always be my girl.
Be my girl.
I won't be falling, falling, falling for games that girls play to keep me away. From you we'll still be close even when we're apart, baby. Now just keep telling yourself, don't you listen to what the people say. You'll always be the queen of my heart.
That was Good Thing with Ray Parker Jr. on the guitar there. Man, this is such a good CD. They were hilarious. Sean was crazy.
Yeah, he was kind of quiet at first, but, you know, I guess he had to get his Bertolos in him at first before he started talking. But once we talked about that young lady, he really was in them too, you know, and missing out on that. She was very good artist.
That was too funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep on with the music because I want to finish playing. We got about 15 minutes left, and I want to play as much of this music on the CD as I can.
A lot of people don't have the CD, and it's a shame, Terry. A lot of people don't have the CD.
I know.
Yes, I
didn't have it before you told me about this group. And like I was telling Johnny before we came on, Eric, the manager, had sent me a couple of MP3s. But as I was doing the research on them and researching the album, I went to Amazon.com and bought the album and downloaded it because it's just that good. I think it's just that good, and I wanted the whole thing. I especially wanted the Love the Ball Jazz with Boney James on it, so I definitely had to buy the album for that.
Yeah,
and is that song on the
great.
Album that you have, Mike?
Actually, no, I checked it out. It isn't. I must have bought mine. I think I bought mine the day it came out. I'm a big fan of Impromptu as well. And like I said, I got all their CDs. They have that same style, the same vibe, and it's just, you know, if you love that R&B mixed with the jazz with the hip hop, that's what it is, you know. And I really love their sound. And like I said, when it first came out, I wouldn't have purchased it. So I should have waited so I can get the Mo Jazz with Boney James on it.
But you know, the combination of the jazz, the soul, and the rap, they do it so well.
Yes, they do.
It's done so well, and I wish I had known about them before, but I definitely will be buying their other CDs because I think it's a great mix, and they have a unique sound to them, and I really, really love their music. Love their music. So thank you for turning me on to them.
Yeah, and you know, Terry, and then it's funny because when I told a couple of my friends that we were having them on the show, they were like, they're back out. So I said, yeah, they back out. You know, those people, you know, they know them from the stuff that they made in the past, but it's hard now with the way that the stations are gone and things like that, that when people come back out or release a CD, we don't know about it. We have to hear about it through word of mouth. And
right.
And that's the bad part because even like when we had Gerald Damian on, you know, people didn't know that he was trying to come back out and have some new stuff, new material. That's where we're at now in the genre. So we have to kind of, you know, wake people up and say, hey, man, you know, these guys have a CD come out this Tuesday, this, you know, next Friday, whatever. But Impromptu, yes, they are the bomb. They are the truth. And I do. I love their style. It reminds me, it was a CD made years ago by a rapper named Guru. He made a rap jazz album similar to what they're doing now and everything, but I guess not on the same level that they're doing it. But he was one of the first originators of that too, as well as Easy Mo B and Miles Davis and everything. So I love what they're doing with the music.
Okay. The next song I'm going to play is called I Want to Know. It features Norman Brown and Herman Jackson. And Sean says about this, we wanted to revisit the feel-good sound of Summer Nights, which was one of the most popular tracks on our first album. Steve Harvey, who produced the first CD, is on it, along with musicians like Indigo Chancellor and Sekou Bunch. This is I Want to Know.
From just one touch. What makes the smallest things I do mean so much? Why do you stare like you can see through me? I wanna know if you know what you're doing to me. Do you wanna just take me in your arms and go? Tell me.
I wanna know how you feel, and if what you feel is real. I wanna know if I can be a part of your world. You and I, together we can touch the sky. What makes you sad? What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? What makes you smile inside?
I wanna know what makes you
look at me and feel the way you do. What makes you want me to?
I wanna know what turns you on about me. Is it the way I look, my personality? I smile when you walk by, switching right to left and close so fly. Maybe it's the cologne instead, or is it the ride I drive that's real? I wanna know what's going on in your head, so I'm not misled.
I wanna know if you feel the same way that I feel. If so, then take my hand and say that you will be my wife. What makes you smile inside?
I wanna know
what makes you look at me and feel the way you do. What makes you want me to?
I wanna know
what makes you look into my eyes and see all the love I have inside. What makes all love feel so alive when we're together?
All right, that was I Want to Know featuring Norman Brown and Herman Jackson. Another great song from the CD.
Yes, that's right. Very hot right there. Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have about 7 minutes left, and I want to invite everyone to visit our website, TalkingSmoothJazz.com, which launched on last Monday, and sign our guest book. Let us know that you were there. And tomorrow we are speaking with a saxophonist named Oto, who is originally from Japan, and she's currently living in San Francisco. Her producer, Scott Latham, will be calling in as well, and he will be calling in from Japan to help her out, because I don't think she does English very well. So he's going to help us with the interview with her. So we're looking forward to talking to her. This is another artist that Mike turned me on to.
And, she is
so
bad.
Yeah.
She has a CD called Crystal Rose. You guys can check her out on CD Baby and, you know, listen to some of the snippets of the song. The CD is off the hook. If you guys can go on to CD Baby and purchase the CD, I guarantee you that you will love this CD. She's a hot artist. Like I said, it doesn't matter. She, you know, if her English is not that good, but the music will speak for itself. I'm telling you, the music is hot.
The music is hot. So we look forward to talking to her and Scott tomorrow. All right. Mike, anything else you want to add?
Well, just that everything in this area, in the D.C. Maryland area, has been canceled. I was trying to plan on going out to see Walter Beasley tonight, but that concert has been canceled into the 20th of February. They moved that back at the Birchmere. And what else? They have four players coming to the Birchmere. Who else? Layla Hathaway. So many different shows, Terry, that's coming. I would have to update you guys tomorrow. There's so many good shows. Michael Franks will be in town on Valentine's Day to do a show with Spirit of Moment. It's so many shows. I actually wrote it down, but I lost the paper now. But we do have some good shows coming to this area. So if you guys are in the D.C. Maryland area, I would say stay tuned to our show. We'll definitely let you know what's going on. And hopefully we'll, you know, see you at the events and everything.
All right. I am going to close the show with Mo Jazz from the CD. This is a tribute to one of the original Motown label artists, the late Jay Spencer. And this is Johnny was telling us about him. He was a friend. Johnny said that they wanted to write a song that could be like a reunion for those who were on the Mo Jazz label. So they got Norman Brown, Wayman Tisdale, Boney James, George Duke, Harvey Mason, and others. Go ahead.
I just want to real fast, too, Terry, before you start the song. I just want to say that when they actually mentioned that, that name sounded so familiar to me. I actually have a CD of Jay Spencer's in my collection. So I would have to, like, probably send that to you or send you some MP3s over to you so you can listen to Jay Spencer and everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I would like to hear that. All right. So you have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow with saxophonist Oto. Here is Mo Jazz from Impromptu's It Is What It Is CD. Have a smooth day, everyone.
Boom, boom, boom.